Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. This is News Talk STL.
Welcome on into the show. If you're just joining us, thanks for being here. We've got a big rest of the show planned. If you didn't catch the first hour, you know, you can catch all 3 hours later on and following on the podcast. That'll be up later on this afternoon. And we'll be talking more about the SCOTUS oral arguments with Zach Smith, as well as Robert Herr's decision to, on the one hand, call Joe pretty much incompetent and unfit for service, and on the other hand, saying that back when apparently he may have been a little more competent because he was termed to be willfully in violation of the law in his handling of those documents, somehow those two mixed like oil and water, and he decided not to on Thursday prosecute him. That's interesting, isn't it? We'll see if Zach can unpack that for us at 8 o'clock. A little bit later this hour, we'll be talking with a couple of our favorites from, of course, News Talk STL. Mike will be with us, of course, at the 7:25 part, Mike Ferguson, and then Virginia Cruda. And Virginia and Mike always have an interesting take. I love the way they unpack things. That's why I love listening to them, whether I stream it, whether it's on, newstalkstl.com. I don't have an Alexa. We talked about that last week. I don't trust the Alexa. If you want to do the Alexa, we can do that for you. Don't worry. That's just my personal choice. But I don't know why. They know everything about us. If we got a smartphone, you might as well have an Alexa. And then, of course, the app, which is a great app. It's very responsive. That app never fails me. It's a good app, News Talk STL app. So Mike will be with us at 7:25, Virginia 7:45. Now, this issue with this immigration, you know, the border bill, which was a total insult, slap in the face to law-abiding Americans who daily have to, you know, pay their taxes, pay their parking tickets, pay their speeding tickets. If you do something worse, you have to pay the pipe. I mean, you know, we're just used to being accountable, aren't we, us everyday citizens? If we make a mistake later, you might find 2 years later you've made a mistake on your taxes, but sometimes an honest mistake, sometimes not, but very often an honest mistake. They come back. There's no due process, really. I mean, there's really not due process. If IRS says you owe it, you owe it. And oh, by the way, we didn't get a chance to really looking at your return for a couple of years. But, you know, all that time, the interest was accruing, the penalties are accruing. But now we think we'll have a discussion about it. And sorry, you got to pay it. Okay, yes, you salute, you grumble, you move on. And now we have people coming across the border indiscriminately. Some are caught and released. Some are never known of. Others are detained a little while and then released. We pay for their, in the big cities, we're now paying for their hotels, their smartphones, their debit cards, their health care. I mean, it's the life for Riley. Except maybe it's the life of Jesus and Consuela, and we got, modern day Ho Chi Minhs from China. I mean, they're coming all, from all over. And who knows what these people are bringing with them in terms of plans to terrorize this country. We see them with individual outbursts on the streets of New York, what, six or seven of them beating up on a couple of cops? And then the prosecutor lets them go, of course. I mean, that's brilliant. So, but I, for once, I'm gloating over this. I mean, I don't know. In fact, I don't feel sorry for you. If you live in Denver, if you live in Chicago, you're listening to us. You live in New York City. You live in wherever you people have been talking the talk, strutting the stuff, thrusting. Look at me. What a moral individual I am. We're a sanctuary city. ICE, you are not allowed to come in here and deport the people, no matter what they do. Sorry, we've got it taken. You know what? You've made your bed, and your bed is full of piles of stinking, you know what? And I don't mean the people, but I mean your policies. Your policies are your bed, and they smell like rotten manure. And look what's happened. And now Mayor Dennis Johnson. That's Denver's mayor, Dennis Johnson, which on a per capita basis, Denver has had more influx of aliens. I'm tired of calling them migrants. We're not going to do that. Illegal aliens swarming into Denver, 40,000 of them at this point. And guess what? The bleeding, you bleeding heart, feel good. Look at me. Look at what a wonderful, I'm going to go to heaven. I'm such a good person. Maybe I should change my name to Mother Teresa. And now listen what's going to happen to you good-hearted, wonderful people in Denver. Listen what they're going to do. Here it is. Clip three.
Thank you so much for being here this morning. I'm here to talk a little bit about the devastating impact of the failure of Republican leadership in Congress this week to pass comprehensive immigration change and the impact that will have on both city budgets and on services that we can provide for newcomers in the city. The second is we will start to have to greenlight a set of hard decisions about budget reductions across the city to meet those costs that we know will continue to arrive. We want to talk about two of those today. While they're the first steps, they unfortunately will not be the last and may not be the hardest. This is a plan for shared sacrifice. And so in terms of our first step on city cuts, we are announcing today we will make some changes both to our services at DMV and to our services on Parks and Rec.
Oh, wow. There, may I translate some of the earlier part of that? This is page one out of every progressive, woke, liberal, socialist, dare I say, communist playbook. It's always someone else's fault. It's not our fault that both locally we espoused and passed and endorsed practices which invited this. We provided the soil, the substrate for this invasion, but we're going to blame it on Republicans who failed to pass comprehensive. It's always someone else's fault. Dennis Johnson, if you had a few neurons connected in your head, if you had some emotional intelligence and a little bit of humility, but humility in politician doesn't go along, you would say, you know what, we've made a mistake. And to the citizens of Denver, I have to apologize that I've led you down this road, and we're going to reverse course. I'm going to propose to the city council that we no longer are a sanctuary city. We're not going to any longer ask other Americans who indirectly will be responsible for our misguided policies. I'm not going to ask you to put up for this anymore. Of course, that wasn't happening. What he said was shared sacrifice. Oh, let's see. Shared sacrifice. Okay. As long as it stays within the city of Denver, everyone sharing the sacrifice, I'm fine with it. Have at it, guys. Pretty soon you won't have trash service. Pretty soon, your public health facilities that give, you know, free or cheap vaccinations. Yes, some vaccinations are good. Don't throw the baby out with the COVID mRNA bathwater, guys. Please don't do that for your own good. But that's another discussion. Vaccinations, low-cost labs, pediatric care. Pretty soon, you'll see public health facilities gone. You'll see trash services gone. So they'll be happy to defund the police. That'll be the next step, I'm sure. And you know what? You guys have at it. But what he's saying is they want other Americans to now, you heard it, Eric Adams, Dennis Johnson, Brandon Johnson in Chicago. They all want you and I to pay for that. Forget about it. Shared sacrifice. These guys are socialists leading our country's largest cities. And there's no other way around it. Mr. Johnson, I'm sorry, pony up, increase the taxes. Increase the taxes so it's so painful that they vote you and your liberal partners in crime. This is a crime against the citizens of your city, and it's going to continue. Stop bellyaching about Republic. This is not the Republicans' fault. This bill proposed to pay more money for your injustice against American citizens, and they happen in this case to be in your city. It has to stop. We have to say no. And I'm thankful that it didn't pass. Now, of course, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer are going to get their way on more Ukrainian aid. It just tickles me endless to see these people paying the price for their decisions. You know, that's accountability. We have a caller. Who's on the line? Greg, welcome to the Randy Tobler Show. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Randy. I want to take issue with you about your calling them illegal aliens. They are not illegal aliens. They are illegal foreigners. and call them illegal aliens is an insult to all those who have traveled the universe to visit our planet.
Greg, I have to tell you, actually, because of Biden's policies on mass parole in a plan that is really supposed to be a case-by-case parole allowance within the immigration statutes, many of them are technically legal because he's paroled one of the, I think, from some of the Caribbean countries, you know, and so Haiti and others. But that aside, I mean, they're illegal. They're illegal. And oh, so it's an insult to aliens. I'm sorry for all you Trekkies out there, but go ahead, Greg.
Anyway, that's I think in order to fix the problem, you have to be able to identify it correctly. And I think we start calling them illegal foreigners. It means that they did not come through a port of entry or fill out the paperwork. And to pardon somebody that does that is an illegal pardon.
Yeah. Do you think that this political move that the Democrats are doing, where they're trying to spin this failure of this bill to pass now, that making the entire crisis, the entire existentially threatening crisis to these United States, putting it on the back of Republicans, do you think that the middle of the country, the independent voters, will buy that pack of lies, or will they realize where the real blame is?
Well, the people in the middle country, they know where the blame is, and it lies solely with the Democrat establishment and their leader. We have the policies. They don't need any new laws because we have sufficient laws. All they have to do is to do their constitutional duty and carry out the laws, execute the laws of the nation. That's the way the Constitution reads.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Greg. Really appreciate it. It's good to talk to you. And
okay, Randy. All right. Take care.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Yeah, I will. I don't know. I'll have to ponder whether I want to use the word illegal foreigners or not. I don't know. I sort of like the Trump-esque, whatever it is. We have to continue to say not just plain migrants, aliens, foreigners, whatever you want to use, but the modifier, the adjective has to be illegal. Illegal. You have to make sure that if they come in, they come in legally. Okay, one more caller before we head off, because we got to talk to Mike Ferguson in just a minute. Go ahead. What's on your mind? Quickly.
Well, I just want to say I prefer to call them criminal invaders.
Ah.
And that, because it is an invasion of our country. Twice as many have entered the United States ill in a criminal manner or an invasive manner than what Nazi Germany sent into 1941 Soviet Union. The second thing, let's play the Democrat game. Yeah, Hitler only sent 4 million into Russia. We have 8 million now. Let's play the Democrat game. Let's get a constitutional amendment on the Missouri ballot this November saying that if you hire illegal aliens, there are heavy fines on your business. So let's see how fast the woke left wants to... wouldn't that be fun? You know, like
I like that. Good thought. Yeah. Yeah. $10,000 fine for each violation. And there is a way to bet these people, right? So that's good. All right. Thanks, caller. Good idea. All right. When we come back, we're going to ask Mike Ferguson all kinds of questions about everything, including criminal invaders, illegal foreigners, illegal aliens. What's he thinking of where that border argument is going? And who's going to really take the blame politically? I'm interested in that. It's the SCOTUS arguments and, of course, Biden's incompetence. Is it time for that 25th Amendment? All right. Mike Ferguson coming up later, Virginia Cruda. And after that, Zach Smith from Heritage. Lots coming up. Keep it here.
The sun is hot and that old clock is moving slow. So am I.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer on News Talk STL.
Hey, it's Mike Ferguson from The Morning Show, and you are listening to Randy Tobler right here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Why? Because you're awesome.
I think I'll just call it a day.
That's very kind of Tony, isn't it? Hey, joining me now, Mike Ferguson. Of course, you hear him in the morning every Monday through Friday, 5:30 to 9. Mike Ferguson in the morning, a fabulous show. And Mike, there's so much to talk about. We might as well just pull up a chair and have a cup of coffee for the next 3 hours.
The shows kind of write themselves at this point, and I don't know if they're tragedies or comedies right now.
Let me ask you something. Right off the bat, what was your thought Thursday? Well, what was it, about 5 o'clock, maybe 6 o'clock, when it was announced that there was going to be a hastily prepared news conference or, you know, statement by President Biden? Well, after the expose of the Robert Hur thing came out and the report, what did you suppose might happen?
Well, because when I heard that, I'd heard that there was no recommendation for any prosecution. And at that point, that's all I knew. And I thought it was really strange that they were going to have a press conference to do a victory lap. And I thought, OK, well, then they're just going to attack, you know, Donald Trump. And I thought that's a really weird thing to say, because if they're not going to, you know, press charges or they're not going to prosecute Joe Biden for these documents, then why on earth would they draw attention to it when Donald Trump, is dealing with, frankly, a worse situation of it? And then I found out later that what was at hand was this reference that he would be presented to a jury as an elderly man with memory problems. And clearly he was coming out to take some swings at that. And I'm thinking, this isn't going to go well for him. Yeah, you're an elderly, frail man, and your swings just don't scare anybody. And I think that press statement was a disaster for him, to be really honest.
Yeah, my wife complimented me, Mike, and probably you and your wife have the same conversations about, like, how doing talk radio and surveying the entire world of, you know, negative news, because that's what makes news, you get a little cynical. And my wife said, because I thought maybe this is it, maybe this is the moment when he says, you know what, in view of this, I'm going to step aside, because I'm maybe under pressure, you know. And I had hope against hope that maybe he was just going to step aside gracefully and, you know, toss it to the next generation. Didn't happen, though. In fact, he doubled down on his anger and just combative behavior, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he might have just forgotten to step aside, given everything that we know so far. At this point, it's really interesting because the Democrats are in a really bad situation. I mean, we're all watching the deterioration of Joe Biden's mental faculties. And if you set aside the partisanship, this is really frightening. And this is scary, because the commander in chief has powers now that the founders had never imagined, especially when it comes to military, especially when it comes to the way that the executive branch is run. And clearly we have somebody who is not in command of his mental faculties at all times. I mean, I have had relatives over the years who have dealt with dementia and outright Alzheimer's. And they have good days and they have bad days. And I'm certainly not going to try to diagnose Joe Biden, but clearly he's losing his faculties. And so the whole world is watching this. And the Democrats right now are saying this is getting hard to sell, because before it's a matter of, we need to tap into why half the country hates Donald Trump. At least this guy's not Donald Trump. But now you've got the entire country, including all those coveted independent voters, who are saying this guy is not capable of the job. And they've got a real problem on their hands right now.
Yeah. And, you know, Mike, isn't it ironic? Remember when there was scuttlebutt during Donald Trump's administration that one or more of his cabinet members, maybe under the guidance of the chief of staff, who knows? I mean, there's been all kind of rumors floating around. We're talking 25th Amendment talk. And I mean, if there was ever a time for 25th Amendment talk, don't you think it's now?
Yeah, with the 25th Amendment, and Claudine Tenney and Josh Hawley and some others have already brought that up right away. With the 25th Amendment, we're talking about some level of incapacity. So we're talking about the president is in a coma. The president is going under general anesthesia, that sort of thing. And in this case right here, what you have is very clearly, if you put the president of the United States in front of an objective medical professional and they came up with a diagnosis that says the memory is slipping, the mental acuity is not there, this is a legitimate conversation over the 25th Amendment. Randy, we all know politics are going to override the good of the country when it comes to this sort of thing right here. But this is exactly what the 25th Amendment is for, the cabinet to look around and go, guys, the boss isn't all there right now. We're going to have to at least temporarily, make a change so that he can either get treatment or change medication or whatever the case is. Of course, politically, then we get Kamala Harris. But when we're talking about a chief executive who doesn't know where he is at times, and I don't say that in a snarky way, he literally stands and looks around as lost right in the middle of people in front of the world to see. So this is at least where that legitimate conversation should happen. But we all know, like I said, politics will override it all. Partisanship will override it all. Tribalism will override it all.
Yeah, I agree with you that I think politics will, as far as any effective implementation of now a change of power. But if you think about it, maybe we really don't even want to contemplate what that would mean. Kamala, word salad, yeah. Kamala, do we really want her acceding to the throne? I'm not sure that's any better.
Yeah, you've got Kamala Harris who does word salads and Joe Biden who does word blenders. I mean, take your pick.
That's great. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's been a lot of speculation about something momentous happening at the convention, the Democrat convention. And could that be some kind of a coup? Could there be some kind of backroom deals being made, maybe without Joe Biden and his inner circle's knowledge? I mean, do you have to put too much of a tinfoil hat on to have those conversations?
No, you really don't, because Randy, you and I are kind of in the same space when it comes to a lot of the conspiracies out there. But keep in mind, a backroom deal and a coup are two completely different things. At some point, I think what could happen is, they look at the electoral math, and right now, if Joe Biden is healthy, I don't care what the polls say. Right now, the Democrats are in a better position than what a lot of people think when it comes to winning back the House and, frankly, holding on to the presidency. But as Joe Biden scares people with his frailty and with this mental acuity issue, I think at some point they look around and they realize the Democrats can nominate whoever they want at that convention. The primaries and the caucuses, the delegates are sent. But if the party as a whole says, this is our nominating convention, we're not bound to do this. I mean, there may be some states that require delegates to be bound on a first ballot, but for the most part, generally speaking, they can nominate whomever they want. That's not a coup d'etat, but that is a backroom deal, and they can put anybody else up there that they want, and that person can select their running mate. So you could be looking at Gavin Newsom. You could be looking at probably not Kamala Harris, but you could be looking at Gretchen Whitmer. You could be looking at Cory Booker. You could be looking at anybody else that they think would be marketable, and then they would go through that other process. But if that were to happen, and this is just my complete 100% speculation, Randy, it's that, well, suddenly he's had a minor stroke, he's healthy, he can do the job, but for the good of the country, he's going to leave, and they try to give him a way to leave with his head held up high and saving face, and trying to tell him that we're going to preserve your legacy, and then the party is going to build on that or sell it in that sort of way. I could see something like that happening at the convention, but the conversations, I guarantee you, are happening in the Democratic Party right now. But if there are more of these instances, then they'll start more overtly talking about it and then maybe manufacture some kind of minor health issue where they give him a way out with dignity.
Yeah, I it's amazing, isn't it, Mike, that the blind spot, the large, huge, almost field of view blind spot that politicians at that level have when they don't realize. I mean, we see it in professional athletes. They outstay their time, right, and pass their peak. what a great opportunity for him. I mean, in his own mind and in his party and base's mind, for him to go out gracefully and say, hey, you know, it's time for a new generation. It's time for, but it's just, it's not in their vocabulary. They just can't see that, that lane at all. Hey, I wanted to talk to you in the time we have left. I don't know if you've been getting a lot of incoming on both sides of the Tucker interviewing Putin debate, but I'm getting a lot of incoming from folks who are generally on the conservative side of the fence saying, hey, what in the hell is he doing carrying water for Vladimir Putin? Other people saying, no, it's about time that at least we show that we have a nationalistic leader who loves his country with all of his foibles, all of his authoritarian and despotic and KGB mannerisms. At least he loves his country. Knuckleheads in D.C. don't. Where do you stand on this whole Tucker in Moscow thing?
Okay, so I have to admit, I'm planning to watch the interview this weekend. I haven't seen it yet. You know, the first half of my career was as a journalist. I mean, obviously, I do opinion work now. I'm not a journalist anymore. If you're a journalist and you have a chance to interview a world leader, even a despot, like you were saying, an absolutely horrible guy, you do it. You know, you go in, you don't, you, if you can get it with no conditions, you're allowed to ask whatever you want. You're allowed to keep possession of all of your recordings. If you can do it, you do it. I don't have any issue with that whatsoever. I will say that I am getting concerned with our side, you know, the right, whether you talk about conservatives or Republican or MAGA or what, however the Venn diagram overlaps on those. We cannot become a pro-Russia group just because there are so many people on our side who don't like Ukraine. You know, we have to be objective and keep the national interest first. If these are softball questions, which is generally not what Tucker Carlson does, but if these are softball questions, then I'll join in the chorus of calling him out. If he asks tough, actual, real questions, then I would tell everybody, shut up. You know, he's a opinion anchor. But if he has a chance to interview somebody and put something out in the debate and move a conversation in the right way, and he's seeking truth, then good for him. But I guess I just kind of have to dance around the question a little bit because I actually haven't watched the interview yet. You know, if you're allowed to interview a world leader like that, especially one who's an enemy of the United States, and you get a chance to do it, you need to take the toughest questions you can to them, just like you would the president of the United States. I mean, you need to try to get in there and come in and say, this is how we see the world. You don't see it the same way. You know, give me a, you know, go ahead and take your shot. Convince us why you're right or why we should see it. And if you know, Tucker Carlson is a very, very good interviewer. Tucker Carlson kind of floats back and forth based on where the opportunities are. So I'm just going to have to take a wait and see approach until I can watch the interview. But just the idea that how dare you go interview him, I think that's silly to get mad about that. Let's actually hear the content and find out what actually happened.
You know, I agree with you. I think Americans are so, and especially constitutional, originalist, limited government, America as a leader of pretty much all things that have advanced the quality of life across the globe because of America, because of our free market system, because of our, our way of doing business here. Okay. I think a lot of people are so in love with the America that we know, with all of its warts, which have been corrected along the way, that there's a certain sympathy for a guy who loves his country like Putin does. I mean, because you see so much hate coming from the left, from the squad, from let's just dismantle it all, tear it down. It's all worthless, you know. And I think you're right. We can overshoot on that nationalistic sympathy. And I think it's going to be interesting. Tucker said, look, Putin, he swears and just denies all over the place that Putin is a global expansionist, wants to rule the world country. He says in a post interview, and we won't waste the time playing the clip here, but you know, he basically said, look, they don't have enough people to man their huge landmass now, much less expand wildly. Why would they want to go to Poland and everything? Now, I don't know whether that's true or not, but and he did, by the way, ask Putin a real tough question about the new the Wall Street Journal journalist too. So I'm anxious to see after you review it. You'll be talking about it again, I guess, this week, right?
Oh, I'm sure we will. Yeah, because I've had so many questions, and frankly, the week was so busy, I just didn't get a chance to watch it yet. So I'm a little behind on that one.
Well, I'm sure the left will be making calls for him to be Tucker to be prosecuted as under sedition and treason, right? As a traitor, I don't know.
Crazy. Yeah, well, they.
Mike,
they
I always love it when you. I love it when you engage.
Just talking about. It.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't know. I hope we don't get thrown off of Facebook and YouTube and Rumble. I don't know. That may have done it. Who knows? Hey, Mike Ferguson, we love you, brother. I love listening to you. I hope everyone tunes in every Monday through Friday, 5:30 to 9, with you and Gabe and Stella. It's a fabulous show, and your analysis is priceless. Thanks for joining me, brother. Thank you.
Doc, really appreciate it, man.
All right, there is Mike Ferguson. Always sage words from Mike as a keen observer of the scene. I'm getting an incoming from old Rick who says, you better be careful about that insurrection talk about the South, the Confederacy against the North. I'm sorry, old Rick. I was just meaning that. Of course. I mean, look, there was a conflict. There was a secession. If anything ever came close to insurrection, that was it. And that's the context under which the Supreme Court arguments took. We will raise the Putin question along with some sound with Virginia. Talk with her about the Biden debacle and maybe a little Sonny Hostin too when we come back. Virginia Cruda in just a few minutes, and Zach Smith from Heritage on the oral arguments and the prosecution that wasn't at 8:10. Stay there.
Randy Tobler, Truth Warrior, Woke Destroyer on News Talk STL. Watch us on our live stream using Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. This is News Talk STL.
And the professional liars in Washington really don't know anything about the area or really anything about the world beyond New York have convinced themselves, or I think he's trying to convince you, that this guy's Hitler and he's trying to take the Sudeten land or something. It's like not analogous in any way. Whatever Putin's many faults, okay, it's not an expansionist power. So I can't even recall my point exactly, other than he is, to the extent he's angry, and that it's obvious, he's angry because he feels like, whoa, why, you know, I thought we were going to be friends. And again, maybe that's his fault, but he's definitely mad about it.
That's Tucker Carlson in his hotel room in Moscow after his widely criticized, some applauded interview with Vladimir Putin. Virginia Cruda joins us now. You see her, all of her great work on the Daily Wire. You hear and see her here on News Talk STL. Virginia, your thoughts about Tucker in Moscow with Putin. Have you had a chance to unpack that?
Not really. I'm going to tell you, just be completely honest. I'm sure you can tell I don't sound great. My daughter brought COVID home about a week ago. And uh-oh. I've had the worst case that I've ever had in my life. So,
oh really? Why?
I spent about 5 days with my temperature over 102, and it's been quite the rabbit hole for me this week. So I haven't seen. I was aware that he was doing it, and I know that there was a lot of discussion about the fact that he was doing it at all. Namely, that it's typically dangerous for journalists to be, you know, in Russia. So I haven't had a chance to unpack the actual interview, but I do, I do know that there was a lot of controversy just over the fact that he did it in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you'll find it interesting. I mean, the interview is interesting. His analysis of it afterwards was even, I think, more compelling. And certainly he's playing with fire when you're interviewing Vladimir Putin and putting yourself in that, especially with a Wall Street Journal that is in custody. He did ask him about that, and he pushed him on it. Didn't get the answer he wanted, but it was interesting. All right, switching gears, and I'm thankful for you being with us. You should have let me know that you were had COVID. We didn't have to do this, but that shows shows your resilience and courage. That's great. Well, here's a side question. I hope you haven't lost taste and smell for buffalo wings and other snacks tomorrow evening? No?
No, no. No, I haven't. I have not lost taste or smell.
Okay, good, good. Well, I hope you feel better quickly. The fever's broken, I hope?
Yes. Yesterday I was down to like 99.5, so I'm getting close to normal. And my biggest issue is this is the third time that I've had COVID. And the first two times I didn't have a cough at all. And this time I think I may have bruised a couple of ribs because I was coughing so much.
Yeah. It's pretty wicked. Yeah, it's a disease to be reckoned with. I mean, it's along the lines of, for many, a bad flu. And if you're in an elderly age group, it can be, you know, more severe and fatal. Well, we wish you well. Hope you get better quicker. Let's switch gears to the culture side of the ledger.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about Sunny Hostins. Now, you had written about how she continues to double down on her, you know, America's racist, and, you know, she's a staunch reparations supporter. Perhaps you saw where she was outed as having ancestors in Spain who were slaveholders. Yet she goes on The View and says she's still in favor of reparations, and that's just the way people did things. It seemed to be some cognitive dissonance to me. What are your thoughts?
The people that want to talk about reparations, they often don't want to talk about a lot of things. They don't want to talk about the fact that, one, white European Americans did not originate the slave trade. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the fact that white European Americans ended the slave trade. They don't want to talk about the fact, we've talked about this before, that the idea that the white Americans were responsible for the slave trade in any real capacity. I mean, no, because first of all, for anyone to be treated as a slave, the Dutch traders who were making the money off getting the slaves from Africa and bringing them to the colonies, they weren't going into the African bush and hunting people down and kidnapping them into slavery. For the most part, these were African tribesmen that were selling their own people. And so there are so many complicated layers to slavery. There's the fact that Native Americans and Black Americans owned slaves. The fact that the Irish were made into indentured, a lot of them were pressed into indentured situations where they were often treated worse than slaves. What are we going to do? Are we going to do a DNA analysis of everybody? Because otherwise, how do you determine who owes reparations and who gets them? Because, I mean, if you are African American, but you arrived on our shores long after the age of slavery, do you still get reparations? Because you're not descended from slaves. And what about the people like, for example, I have not done an exhaustive family history, but I've come pretty close. I have not found a slave owner yet, and I have found three Union soldiers. So at least three members of my family put their lives on the line in an effort to free the slaves.
Yeah.
So
perhaps you should get a reparations tax credit.
But my question is, I'm just saying it's too complicated. They don't deserve reparations. They served their country when they were called. You know, it's no different than, you know, my dad going to Afghanistan or my grandfather going to Belgium, or this is what they were called to do and they did it.
Yeah.
But to suggest that we're going, I mean, are we doing this by how many drops of blood you have, that it gets silly really fast and very, very overcomplicated.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that people like that look increasingly hypocritical, and the argument in favor of it becomes just terribly eroded when she's exposed in the way she was. Now, I saw that you wrote about Dean Phillips. Dean Phillips, I found it interesting that a few weeks ago, he went to people in line for a Trump rally, and he talked about how charming and engaging and warm the MAGA people were. He wants to see a new generation of politicians in his party, I think in both parties. Marianne Williamson dropped out this week. Joe Biden's stock price went way down. People on the left in the party, David Axelrod among them, saying it's time to reconsider. Does Dean Phillips have a lane if Joe were to graciously bow out?
I don't think so. I don't think so for a couple of reasons. First of all, he's a white man, and they really can't justify doing that. Not after they've come so close by, I mean, at least on the Democrat side, because identity politics is king, you know, and so they've made Kamala Harris vice president. They almost have no choice but to either nominate a woman of color, or nominate a man of color. But
okay.
They don't really have very many options. Now, I think that if Dean Phillips could win a primary, he would have a reasonable shot in the general simply because he's sane. When he stands up and he stands up and he opens his mouth, and even Republicans are like, yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Right, right. Yeah.
No, we won't agree with him on a lot of policy, I'm sure. But we're not like, oh my God, is he going to, you know, greet someone who isn't there?
Yeah, you're right.
We don't have to worry about that stuff.
It's amazing how good he looks when you stand him next to Biden. I mean, even though he may be a liberal at heart, he does sound cogent. He puts words together. He can string a sentence together. I just think it's fascinating. We only have we're out of time. Real quick, your pick for the Super Bowl winner tomorrow night. Got to ask you your pick.
I think Kansas City's on a roll.
Yeah. You think the momentum's with them?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You got any problems with Brittany Mahomes doing the Sports Illustrated swimsuit model shoot?
I really wasn't paying attention to her.
Well, that's funny. Jerome wanted me to ask you that because I can't get him to put the magazine down. I mean, I'm kidding you. All right. Hey, Virginia, thank you very, very much. Appreciate you. I hope you feel better. God's blessings to you. I hope you feel better. Soon.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me. All righty. There she is, Virginia Cruda. Man, that's stand-up stuff. We'll be back with Zach Smith. Stay there.